What's up, party people? Welcome back to the Don't Fly Podcast. This is Rob Streeter here with James Mitchell, getting into the paint, ready to bring you the latest on the NBA. Let's tip it off. James, how you doing?
We're back in the building, Robbie. Rob, got some business to attend to.
Oh, we got some business. We have some serious business. Derrick Rose news is what we're going to be going into today. Okay, so let's update the people. Anybody who doesn't know what's going on with Derrick Rose, let's give you the objective story here. There's a storyline building right now going on. So it all started about 2 weeks ago. The Knicks, New York Knicks, they renounced his trade cap, so he's now a free agent. And he's sort of been doing an unexpected sort of tour of teams that he has complete control over. Early front runners, early names out there were the Bucks. We were actually on, we reported that, as well as a lot of other people. He met with the Bucks close to Chicago. But now, in the past 72 hours have been really interesting. So he's met with the Lakers. He met the Lakers on Thursday. That was reported by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. And the Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers, looking to re-up. They know that these finals are just around the corner. They have emerged as the number one landing spot for Derrick Rose. So when that news broke, we put up a flop or not question. We want to get some opinions of where do you think Derrick Rose would fit best? So our question was, would the Cavaliers be a perfect fit? And an overwhelming majority of people said yes. We actually were very fortunate. We had many people vote in. We had double from our last flop or not. So thank you for everybody who voted on Twitter. And the results were conclusive. We had 91% of people voting say that he is a perfect fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers, that his skill set would be able to elevate their play. But not everyone agreed. And we want to talk about those fans today, okay? That's what we want to talk about. Or maybe I shouldn't say fans, the not-so-fans of one Mr. Derrick Rose. There has been a lot of heat being exchanged from me to you, the community on Twitter, our community here on Anchor. And a lot of people don't want Derrick Rose signed anywhere. A lot of people don't believe he deserves a meaningful roster spot anymore in the NBA, which I think is crazy. I think you think it's crazy. So why is Derrick Rose so hated right now? What is the thought process behind that? You've been a Derrick Rose fan for a long time. Let me set the people up here. You've been a Derrick Rose fan for a very long time. So you've seen the evolution of his career. You've been there from the beginning. So fast forward to today, where Derrick Rose is really in the thick of his career, maybe just beginning, maybe like the second half of his career. He's not old by even NBA standards, but why do you think Derrick Rose is so polarizing right now? Why do you think people find it so easy to hate on Derrick Rose?
Well, Robbie, Rob, boy, yes. Let me just give you a quick, give the people, I guess, a brief summary of my Derrick Rose story. I think it was maybe 2005, 2006. Me and a few friends were watching one of the high school games that comes on ESPN, and at that time, I was playing, and I wore the number 25. So we're just watching, and they're like, yeah. I was like, yo, let's just watch this game. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this kid, number 25. And then one of my best friends, he picked somebody else in the other team, and number 25 happened to be Derrick Rose, and the kid went off. I think it was the game when they played, I think it was his junior year, he played against Oak Hill and Brandon Jennings. And Brandon Jennings was in tears by the end of that game. And I said, who the hell is this? I've never seen speed, strength. It was just, I was in awe. Like, who the hell is this kid? And then I found out he was going to Memphis. So I was like, man, whoever this kid is, I'm watching him in college. So goes to Memphis. I fall in love with Coach Calipari and his dribble drive offense. Derrick Rose takes them all the way to the championship game. They lose to Kansas, which is still one of the hardest games for me to watch in my life. Then he goes to Chicago, and it just so happens Michael Jordan is my favorite player, like, hands down. He happens to go to Chicago, so I was like, what the hell is this? So, long story short, injury here, injury there. Fans love him, fans hate him, and now here we are. So to answer the question, why is he so hated? The only thing that I could come up with is the fact that Derrick Rose is not, he's not like, I don't want to say a likable guy, because if you watch his interviews and see how he interacts with his family, son, how he loves his mom, it's great. But Derrick Rose isn't like always, he's not on social media. He doesn't have an Instagram. He's not interacting with the fans. Like, he's not on Twitter tweeting people. He's not in like that circle of basketball players where it's LeBron, D-Wade, Melo, Chris Paul. Like, you see them all together. Like, he doesn't really appeal to the people that want to reach out and touch these players. Like LeBron, he'll do like a video on Instagram and he's showing you inside of his personal life. Derrick Rose doesn't really do that. So I kind of feel like Derrick Rose kind of pushes you away almost. But besides that, honestly, Derrick Rose, and this, like I said, Rob, I might be able to talk for 30 minutes just off this one question. Derrick Rose represents your everyday person. How many times in your life you set out to achieve a goal? You're working for it. Something bad happens. You get knocked down. Then you got to get up and you got to go back for that goal. Like, that's Derrick Rose. You're the youngest MVP in the league, in league history. You blow your knee out. Everyone turns their back on you. You still come back. You still fight to get back. Then you get back, and then something else happens again. Like, he is your everyday person. Like, you go through so much shit in life, and you gotta keep pushing. So I don't understand. I actually don't understand how he's so hated, because he represents all of us every day. Like, we all go to work for money. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Oh, he wants his money. Oh, he cares about his money. Like, you're damn right. Like, I go to work every day. Shit, if you don't pay, I'm not coming here for the love of the damn job. Like, that is their job. Like, it's just amazing to me how people, and it only seems like it's him, because you'll have a Blake Griffin. He's been injured just as many times as Derrick Rose. He's beating up assistant team managers. People still love this guy. I'm still seeing how, oh, he could still be the face of the franchise for the Clippers and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
Derrick Rose is a former MVP. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to the people that
I'm glad you stopped me, bro.
What do you say to the people that interject and then go, well, Derrick Rose is an MVP, so why haven't we seen any flash of that since?
In my eyes, you have seen flashes, and that's the thing. I've seen multiple flashes. Like, I've seen him score. Last year, I was at the game physically with my own two eyes, score 30 against the MVP, Russell Westbrook. Had 30, 28, 27 against the Golden State Warriors. Like, every John Walls, Isaiah Thomas, he plays at an elite level. Like, if somebody was to say, he's not as consistent as he was as MVP, then I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'll give you that. But to say that he can, it's just MVP. Like, that MVP was the gift, was his gift and a curse. Because anybody else that scores 18, 4-4 in the triangle offense is being praised right now. Just like Drew Holiday, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists a game. He makes $126 million a year. I mean, a year. He got $126 million contract for 5 years, and nobody said a word. If Derrick Rose was to get a $100 million contract right now, you think it's bad now, Robbie Rob? Man, look, people might be outside his house, like, telling him to retire. Like, it is so ass backwards.
So, kind of linking this episode to the prelude sort of teaser that we put out yesterday.
Yeah, you killed that, Robbie Rob. I was very, very, very excited. I listened to that like 3 or 4 times. That reminded me of like a Tupac intro or something.
Well, listen. I mean, there were just 3 major points that I touched on. And to be fair to Say What You Feel podcast, he's not the only one that has said some pretty off the wall things about Derrick Rose. Okay, Say What You Feel is just one example of somebody who may take their opinion might start off on some sound ground. Okay, you can talk about how he maybe hasn't shown flashes of MVP since 2011. Okay, fine, we'll give you that. Fine, has he dropped
30 against Westbrook is MVP level.
Oh, hold on. We're gonna get into those numbers. I brought up his numbers from every game last year. So don't worry, we're gonna get into that. But the cancer comment. Okay, so he. To be fair, to Say What You Feel. Okay, other people have wished that. You can go on Twitter right now and find Derrick Rose's hashtags or whatever, and you can see the crazy stuff people say about this man. How they wish harm on him. They want his plane to crash on his way to meetings. It's really ridiculous. So to not just pile on to one person speaking crazy, let's go into the attitude of Derrick Rose, okay? People question his love of basketball. I mean, you had fun with this the other day. Let's read out for the people the MVPs of the NBA since 1955. Okay, I know it's gonna hurt because a lot of these people. I mean, I don't know what our demographic is actually all over the place, quite honestly. But we do have a lot of younger people tuning in. You know, 21 and younger. So a lot of these names you guys are gonna have to Google. Okay, but it's okay. We have Bob Pettit, Bob Cousy. Okay, we have Wilt the Still Chamberlain. Okay, you don't get a point guard in the MVP till Oscar Robinson, 1963. Next point guard on the list, okay, we go past Chamberlain a couple times. We have Kareem. We've got Willis Reed, New York Knicks. Shout out to New York Knicks, okay? You don't get another point guard. Oh, I'm sorry, Bob Pettit. We forgot Bob Cousy. I'm sorry, Bob Cousy was a point guard, okay? Oscar Robinson was a point guard. Mr. Triple-Double, some of you guys might have heard of Oscar Robinson with the whole Russell Westbrook stuff, okay? Triple-double. We don't get another point guard in this mix here all the way until Magic Johnson in 1986. He is the third point guard ever to win MVP. So let's keep count. Bob Cousy, Oscar Robinson, Magic Johnson. We go a little bit further to get into the mid-80s. Larry Bird. One Mr. Larry Bird 3 times in a row. Magic Johnson gets it again. Then we get the GOAT, arguably, Michael Jordan in 87.
There's no arguably, Rob.
We keep crawling up, okay, until the year 2000. One Allen answer Iverson. Point guard, maybe. Two guard, yes. I mean, he did play with Eric Snow, who played a lot of the one, so okay, we'll give him that. Mid-2000s, a lot of people call these the kind of weird ages of the NBA, okay? This was before LeBron was really LeBron as we know him now. He's just kind of getting his feet into the NBA. Steve Nash. Some people say those were fraudulent MVPs, but we'll give him Steve Nash. Steve Nash twice, okay? So very similar to a Steph Curry phenomenon, but that's another discussion. That's number 5. That's the 5th guard on this MVP roster. And then, ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening to the Don't Fly podcast here on Anchor, Rob, James, talking to you now. 2010-2011, Derrick Rose. This list of MVPs, these are Hall of Famers, okay? You have Kevin Garnett, Kobe, Dirk Nowitzki, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Moses Malone. These are people whom the foundation of basketball is built on, and we get to Derrick Rose and say he doesn't love basketball. And then you want to say he hasn't shown anything since then. James, the injury.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People want it both ways. They want him to persevere through basketball. They want him to give up his whole life and put basketball number one. They want him to play through injury. They want him to be a superhuman and ignore all of what his body's gone through.
100%.
But then they also want him to not play for the money. They want him to.
Oh God.
They want him to be a leader of the team. Okay. They want him to be selfless. Okay. They want him to be. They want him to be the good little boy. Okay. And they want him to not disrupt anything. They want him to be. They want him to fall in line. Okay. They don't like when he says, "I want a little bit of money." They don't want him to be a real person. So, can you love basketball, be an MVP, and still want to provide for your family and put your family first?
Can you not love basketball? Can you not love basketball and do all that stuff? Is that what you're asking? Is that could you say
no,
can
asking,
you love basketball?
No, how could he not love basketball?
Oh, how could he not? I'm going to be real with you. I don't think anybody that makes it to the NBA, they all love the game. Like, if the dedication, the time, sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears that goes into making it to that level, you don't do without love. Like, that, to me, from the first to LeBron to the last man on the last roster, like, you love what you do. Like, there is no in between. Like from a person that had played college and tried to go pro and all that crap, like, you're not doing it, and I didn't dedicate myself the way I should have. So if anybody, like, it's the people that don't make it. That, like, it's how could, first off, who am I or who are you to say the next man doesn't love something because he's not doing what you want him to do?
Wait, I'm sorry.
So if Derrick Rose was average.
Wait, I'm sorry to derail you.
Go ahead.
Can we go into that a little bit more? Because I don't know if a lot of our people who listen know that you did play collegiately. You were scouted.
Yes.
You did at one point dedicate your life to trying to get to the league, and you had talent, and your game was, I mean, I know personally your game was on point. So can we go into a little bit about your experience and your love for the game and sort of like parallel that to what Derrick Rose and what your perception is of how people see Derrick Rose?
I'm going to be 100% honest. When I was actually playing – and was able and to do and to play basketball at a high level, I didn't, my actual real love for the game didn't develop until after I got to see what I did wrong. Because in school, they want you up at 5 o'clock in the morning for 6 o'clock morning workouts, and you got eight o'clock classes. I went to the weight room one time, Robbie Ryan. One time, like, I didn't want to do none of that crap. Then my grades weren't right in school. You know, you got to dedicate yourself grade wise to stay on the team. It's another thing I didn't do. So you end up not on the team. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to go pro on my own. I'd kid you not. I probably emailed 200 agents. I think I heard back from three people. One of them was just like, yeah, we don't know what to tell you. You got to dedicate yourself. You got to do this. So I think it was like the NBA Development League tryouts. They have like a big, giant national tryout. And you can sign up and hopefully get a call back. I got a call back and said, we've selected you to come. You got to send in like your basketball resume, your references, all that crap. So they called me back. Oh, we've selected you to come. I think it was in like Washington. But mind you, both leading up to that, you would think I would be working out and getting ready for the phone call and in the gym every day. Rob, I didn't do a damn thing. I got a phone call, and it was 2 weeks. The trial was 2 weeks from that moment. So for the next 2 weeks, I caught myself running in the morning. That was it. I get down there. I think out of 200 people, I was ranked 12th. I came in just off of, I think I was one of those people that just had a natural ability, natural talent. I learned fast. I didn't work hard. I ended up getting one phone call from the Idaho Stampede saying you were on a short list of people we had. We really like you. If you can get out to our trial in Portland, we can, if you make the team, we'll reimburse you. Of course, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the money to get out there. So that was kind of it. And then I think I just kind of gave up on it for a year. Then I kind of came back, got an email from one of the agents that I emailed 2 years ago and saying that they were having a private tryout, or not really a tryout, just they wanted to see some players to maybe get on there to take in as clients. And then after that, 2 weeks later, I found I have a torn patella tendon, and that was it. I had knee surgery, and that was kind of the end of that. But looking back at it, I have a whole different love and respect for the people that actually dedicate themselves to the game, because I know what it requires. Like, it's not easy at all, like not even close to easy. So when people shit on Derrick Rose and, oh, he doesn't love the game, he doesn't love this, he's not a competitor. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, what did he do besides saying, oh, I want a big payday one day? I want to make some money in this game. Like, I don't, but it's legit crazy.
So, I love getting into this. I think a lot of people who have listened so far have not had a chance to hear this, like, kind of part of your life. So I'm glad that we could kind of highlight this for them. So tell us more a little bit about your injury and what it took for you to get back from your injury as far as just kind of returning to normal day life.
You want to know what's crazy? I had the same exact surgery and procedure that Carmelo Anthony did. Patella tendon tear with the debridement, and then they kind of like recycle your blood to kind of have it heal itself. It took, I think I went back to work in 6-7 months. I was back on the court just kind of running through stuff, maybe 9 months after, but I didn't get actually confident again in my game and my knee for probably almost a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Did the injury affect your, and be honest, did the injury affect your enjoyment of playing basketball?
It did, because I would be playing just like regular runs and I would see a hole. Like, I'm not fast, but you know, I'm quick. I know how to get to my spots. I maneuver good. I would see the spot or I would see the hole, but I couldn't get there. Like, and it frustrated me so much, because it was like, am I ever going to get there again? Like, then I would have a little bit of knee pain, and then I'm like, shit, like, what the hell now? Like, it just plays with your psyche. So, like, the player that you were, like, the explosive player, the everything that I kind of built my name on was kind of in question, because I wasn't as explosive. Like, I couldn't get to my spots. Like, I wasn't as confident in my moves or my game anymore. So it was just like, what the hell is, like, it was crazy.
What pushed you during the rehab, what pushed you to try to get back on the court?
Basketball legit is all I know. Like, basketball is, like, it kind of saved my life in a way. Like, I was the kid in the neighborhood when we'd all be together and somebody, yo, man, let's go rob somebody. I'd be like, man, let's go play ball. Everybody come down to the park with me. We going to get James to the NBA. That's what everybody used to say all the time. We going to get James to the league. So we got to rock with him. So it kind of kept me out of trouble big time. Like, I played basketball every single day. But I never really, like I said, when we talk about LaVar Ball, I never had that person that actually guided me in the right direction. Like, I played, but I never had that person that said, we're going to put you in this school, we're going to put you on this AAU team, we're going to put you in front of this person, that person. I've never had that. So it was just kind of built off of what just a natural love to just play the game.
What position did you play?
Well, the crazy thing is I wanted to be Michael Jordan when I was young. So I thought I was going to be 6'6". You couldn't tell me I wasn't going to be 6'6". And I was going to be jumping from the free throw line. I was going to be doing fadeaways. And then I realized I stopped growing at 5'10", 5'11". So, and I would say in high school I was a shooter. I was like more of a two. And then once I got to college, they kind of said, well, you're not really a two guard. You're a really athletic point guard. So I kind of had to learn a whole new style of play. I had to learn how to look at the game different. And it was kind of a fun process because now I watch the game through a different light. But, yeah, I went from that two-guard Michael Jordan type of player to more of a really explosive point guard.
Were you challenged from other people to be a quote-unquote leader on the team? Because I think a lot of the Derrick Rose frustration comes from the traditional thinking that point guards should be the leader of your team. Even though when you look historically back at the league, point guards have not always been captains of the team. Point guards have not usually been the leader of the team. I think people fantasize and romanticize that the point guard should be the leader of your team. It should be your quote-unquote extension of the court. But that is very actually rarely the case. So you being challenged to try to be a point guard, how do you respond to people that question Derrick Rose's leadership?
I just don't understand how anybody questions something that we're not there. We're not in the locker room. The only thing I've ever heard Derrick Rose say that he's going to try to learn to be a more vocal leader because he's quiet. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't scream on you. He's not a Kobe Bryant. He's not a Chris Paul. He's not in your face. He's more of a follow my lead type of leader. And that's when you get the people that say, oh, well, he didn't show up for games. He's talking about he's not going to play unless he's 100% healthy. He wants to see his son graduate. The AWOL game, I'm 100% – I co-sign everybody that's mad at him for that. I can't – you got it. There is no such thing as a no-call, no-show at work. You got to do the right thing. But like you said, we all make mistakes. So why Derrick Rose gets this – oh, he went AWOL. How many times? Like, he apologized to the Knicks. They accepted it. They moved on. It's just us. Or I'm not even going to say us. It's them who has this fascination with everything that he says. But when the guy averages 18-4-4, nobody says a word about it. When he gives, like I said, Westbrook 30, when he gives Golden State 30, when he gives Boston 30, no one says a word about it. It's a funny story, I tell you that much.
This is the Don't Fly podcast. This is Rob. This is James. This is some Derrick Rose talk, and I really, really...
There's some Derrick Rose, James Mitchell talk.
And I was excited to do this episode because this type of... lightning rod type of person, you know, I think this is the kind of stuff that actually inspired you to try to bring me along and put this project together called the Don't Fly podcast. So I'm actually really excited
Rob,
we could do can this.
Can I tell another story real quick?
Absolutely. Yes, you can.
This is how the Don't Fly podcast was born. Every time I would turn on ESPN, go on Bleacher Report, whatever sports outlet you got, whether it's a local newspaper or whatever it is, I would look for Derrick Rose. I'm always interested to see what he's up to because, like I said, he's not really in the spotlight. He's not – no social media. You really can't keep tabs on him. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what D. Rose is up to. Or Derrick Rose has a good game. So I'm looking to see just a little praise. Somebody say, oh, Derrick Rose is looking good. And I turn it on, and yeah, I would hear, oh, Vintage Rose. Vintage Rose. He looked good for a couple seconds, a couple plays. But then they'd say, oh, but he had 30 points but only had 5 assists. He had 30 points, but he missed Porzingis at the top of the key for an open 3. And then the injury jokes. I hope Derrick Rose dies on his way to the Clippers. Derrick Rose is a cancer. Derrick Rose isn't a leader. Derrick Rose cares more about his family than he does basketball. And it just frustrated me so much that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to create or figure out my own way to make an outlet where we can speak some good shit about the guy, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. So here at the Dope Flop Podcast, this is the only place you're going to get some positive Derrick Rose news.
And I'm glad that we have this outlet now, because it's not even so much about being on a bandwagon, because to be clear, it's bigger than trying to defend Derrick Rose. It's about putting in perspective what people just kind of pull out from tabloids or pull out from the ESPN headline and looking really at the numbers. Because what I love about starting this podcast with you and actually kind of going on this project is that it's forced me to even look closer at what I thought I already knew. And mm-hmm. I love being able to come up here and educate myself before I go out and speak, because I know on this platform people are going to check up what I'm saying. People are going to want to know we're telling the truth, and we want to be here for the long haul. So we know we have to really come on point, and we have to make sure our foundation is strong. So it's not even so much about – yeah.
I just have to address this really quick. Sorry to go off. I'm not going off topic. It's just something that bothered me. The podcast, Say What You Feel, or Say What You Will, whatever it is, salute to him and what he's trying to build in his brand. But he made a comment, and it said, Lonzo Ball is a better leader than Derrick Rose could ever dream of being. The only thing he could teach Derrick Rose is how to stub his toe, get injured, and some other crap. And it's those type of comments, because you're talking about a person who won two state championships in high school, led his team to the championship game as a freshman in college, was the rookie of the year, was the MVP, led his Chicago Bulls team that wasn't that great to the Eastern Conference Finals. It bothers me so much that a person could say, that's not a leader. He couldn't teach Lonzo something. He couldn't teach Lonzo, this is what I did my MVP season. This is what I do when I go against Russ. This is what I do when I go against John Wall and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. Like, it just bothers me. And I'm thinking in my head, like, this dude really believes this shit. Like you could teach Lonzo. Like, this is an ex-MVP. I don't give a fuck if both his legs fell off. He could still teach you what he did that season. He could teach you how to fight back, fight through adversity. Don't look at it from that part. Derrick Rose couldn't teach a kid, man, when you hit this rookie wall and everybody starts to fucking hate you, I'm going to tell you exactly what I do, because everybody hates me. Like, it's just – and then he says, oh, why are we still defending Derrick Rose? Are we defending Derrick Rose, or are you attacking Derrick Rose? Every person that's attacked has to be defended. And if Derrick Rose isn't there to do it himself, I call on the squad.
That is, and you know what? Real quick, let's read out the Eastern Conference, the Bulls roster that he took to the finals, okay? Everybody wants to say he hasn't done anything since then.
The Eastern Conference Finals.
The Eastern Conference Finals, exactly, against the Big Three, okay? This was the original, not the original Big Three, but the baddest Big Three, if we're all being honest, LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh. Okay, this is the roster. Omar Asik, I'll give y'all a second to listen to what I just said.
Give them a second to Google the name, because they might not know who he is.
Omer Asik, okay. Keith Bogans. They won't know who that is either. Carlos Boozer.
Probably not.
Ronnie Brewer. Mm-hmm. A lot of people won't know who that is. Rasul Butler. They probably won't know who that is. Luol Deng. Okay. People might know who that is.
Yeah, Luol. He's respectable.
Taj Gibson. He's still playing in the league because he was a rookie.
Love Taj.
This year. James Johnson. You know, turned himself into a nice little player. Okay.
Yes,
Kyle Korver. People know who that is. People know who Kyle Korver is. That's a name people should know.
He can hit threes. Mm-hmm.
John Lucas.
Oh, boy.
A.K.A. the person LeBron James dunked literally over. It might even been in
it
that
was,
series,
hey,
quite honestly.
It
was either in a regular
maybe?
Season game or in that series. But Joakim Noah, Gennaro Pargo, a lot of people, please, I know you don't know that.
No clue.
Brian Scalabrine, okay. Kurt Thomas.
The White Mamba.
The White Mamba. Kurt Thomas and C.J. Watson. And Kurt Thomas played for probably every team in the league, okay? So Derrick Rose basically took Joakim Noah, Kora Kova, and a biscuit to the finals, to the Eastern Conference finals.
But you know the argument is going to be, oh, the East was weak, the East was weak, the East was weak. Hey,
mm-hmm.
They played who was in front of them. And you might want to look at who they beat along the way. You might just want to do that.
And let's talk. And they were number one. Were they? I think they were number one that season
too.
I think
62-20
in the East.
Yes, sir.
So to wrap up. I think we had a nice scope of touching on.
Hold on, Rob.
Topics.
Before we wrap this up, because everybody's argument is the whole, oh, you just explained everything he did his MVP season. My argument to you people that are saying, what has he done for me lately? Like I said a million times, if anybody else averages 18-4-4, they are being praised as a top 10 point guard. I don't care what anybody says, but since it's Derrick Rose, they don't even look at it. They just hear Derrick Rose and think, oh, he hurt himself again. They don't even take the time to look at the stats. They don't look at the team. They don't look at that New York Knicks squad last year was a complete disaster before Derrick Rose put his jersey on. Like, do we talk about – the only reason I talk about his MVP season is because people question his leadership skills. The dude is a leader no matter whether he's leading the team to the Eastern Conference Finals or he's fighting his way back from another fucking injury. That when most people would have probably quit by now. Like, it's just – and then to come back after all those injuries and average 18-4-4. How could you not love that? How could you not love that story? How could you not respect that story and that man as a basketball player? It's mind-boggling to me. Okay, well, I'm done my rant now. I think you could try to wrap this up before I think of something else. I might stop you again.
Everybody, this has been the Don't Flop Podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you got a bit of a scope on who we are, especially James.
And who Derrick Rose is.
You know,
I hope they got a scope on who Derrick Rose really is. And me
and
too. But Derrick Rose, man. Seriously, like, this shit is crazy.
And,
well, I'm sweating and everything.
We might have some more on the way.
when he signs, wherever he goes, best believe there's going to be another another daily dose of Rose coming out of my damn mouth.
And we'll evaluate that. We'll have a whole segment on that. Thank you, everybody. This will be on iTunes very shortly. Twitter, we might have another flop or not coming up soon. Okay, we'll let you guys know how that pans out. We got new episodes coming several times a week. We talk to y'all, give you the latest on the NBA. This has been Rob Streeter. This has been James Mitchell. This has been the Don't Flop Podcast. Remind everybody, stay on your feet. Don't flop.